just the normal course of it. Usually it's the, you know, the older folks that pass away and die before the younger folks. And some of you have lost children, and you can relate maybe a little bit to what Brother Richard's suffering. But it must be very difficult to have to lay at rest your child. Difficult thing to think that they had suffered the thing that his son had suffered. Made me think a little bit about David. You know, David, sinned against, I think it's Urias, the man's name, as he took his wife and then had him murdered in the field of battle. And then, of course, Bathsheba was with child. And then, because of that sin, the child died. And as the child lay sick, David went and prayed and prayed and wouldn't eat. And his servants got really worried about him. But he was making petition before God. But then after that, he noticed the servants were acting strange and differently. And he perceived that the child was dead. And he asked them, the child was dead. And they said, yes, he's dead. And he got up and got cleaned up and sat down and he ate. And they were kind of strange, you know, confused about it. But he felt like as long as the child was alive, that God might bestow mercy upon them and might grant the life of the child. But seeing that God had not done that, then he just, you know, went on with his life. But yet he made a very wonderful statement, and he said, "The child cannot come to me, but I will go to the child." Speaking, of course, of the day of resurrection, of which our spirits also, all of God. Can you imagine that day? I tell you, you know, I start daydreaming, in a sense, but it's about some wonderful things at the last day, that all of God's people's spirit will take flight and will be in the presence of God one day. What's on our mind this morning? And it's scattered in my mind, but the Lord can have a way of straightening it out, thank goodness, and maybe make something out of it. I tell you, oftentimes you don't know what the Lord has to deal with as we attempt to stand before you, but the Lord does know what He has to deal with, and I don't know how, but He can kind of take it and use it for His purposes when it's His will. But y'all still ask that you continue to be in that spirit and mind of prayer. What's on our mind this morning is the lost. There's quite a bit in the Scripture about the lost. And oftentimes we hear that referred out here in the world. People will divide. Remember, it's important to rightly divide, as he told young Timothy there, Paul did, about rightly dividing the word of truth. The whole theme goes across my mind on a regular basis about rightly dividing things in God's Word. But people will tend to divide God's people up into maybe the saved and the lost. We'd like to look at that a little bit in a couple of different places in the Scripture. But in general, my understanding of that would be that, and this is, I don't believe, and we'll look at this in the Bible a little bit, but in my understanding of what most people, if you had a conversation with most people about the lost and the saved, well, they're dividing people up into two groups. And they would reference the people that are saved as really those that are going to heaven. You know, whatever it took, exactly what had to happen to get them to that place, it will probably vary from people to people. But then the lost are those that are going to hell. That's the way that many people, many sincere, most likely they're God's people, maybe not have some light and understanding about some things in Scripture, but they divide people up into two groups, the saved and the lost. And the lost would be those that are going to hell, and they probably also would consider that some of those lost still, you know, if they'll get it together and they'll make things happen, that they can kind of move from being in that group to being over here in this other group, going to be saved. And And you know that there's just some things they need to take care of and do or whatever it is. And that list out there is going to vary from people to people. But I'd like to look, and I may not accomplish it, but my desire would be for us to see what the Bible talks about laws. It does use that in several different places. But I hope that we can rightly divide that, because I don't believe it's divided properly if you divide it in that way. But the Bible does talk about lost things and lost people. And I'd like for us to look at a couple places where that's referenced. And I hope you'll pray for us as we attempt to do that. I'd like to begin in the 10th chapter of Matthew. 10th chapter of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. One of the four Gospels we have. It has lots of recording of the New Testament times and the times of Christ. And over here in the 10th chapter, and I'll begin reading in the... Well, let's just begin at the beginning of that chapter so I don't have to go backwards. Hopefully I won't go back to the 9th chapter, Brother Johnny. You keep an eye on me. But let's start the 10th, beginning the first verse. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, any idea who he is there? We're talking about the Savior, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And he called unto himself his 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. God gave power, some powers to his disciples that other men did not have. And part of the reason was to manifest that they were his disciples. They were the called. They were those that he himself called out and gave them special power that they might be witnesses unto him. And now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of Samaritans enter ye not." And he says, but go rather to the lost. All right, we got some lost here. But he says, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. All right. Now, some brother along the way helped me out with this scripture and many other scriptures. And I want you to know, I learned a lot from a lot of brethren. I'm still learning a lot of things. And I don't expect to stop learning. I don't want to stop learning, because if I stop learning, it means I got full of myself. And there wasn't any room in there for the Lord to add anything to me. But I know my vessel is quite empty. I'm still like the Lord to add more things to it. But we should learn and continue to learn. But some brother along the way helped me understand that this right here was the first commission. You know, we always, oftentimes we hear about the Great Commission at the end of Matthew and one of the other Gospels, where he said, go out unto every creature and preach unto all the world and all those things. Well, it helps you to understand that commission. I'm going to get off this lost here. I'm already lost off of my lost subject. But it's here. We got some other things on our mind. But that Great Commission over there, somebody looks at that, and you got to understand that commission over there was to release this commission, the first one he gave to him. Because, aren't you, and we ought to rejoice that second one came along. Because if it had not, then this old Gentile boy wouldn't be up here talking to a bunch of Gentile people out here about the gospel and trying to attempt to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we also need to understand where we came from. And that the Lord came first to his own. And that, you know, when this thing began over here, it wasn't with a bunch of us. It wasn't with a bunch of Gentile folks like you and I that we kind of take for granted. If you go way back, it wasn't preached to a bunch of people like you and I. But first, the gospel was given to the Jews, to the Israelites, God's people He had chosen from a long time ago. Now remember, keep that separate from those that He chose before the foundation of the world. Different group of people. He chose every one of His eternal children before the foundation of the world, and He knew them. Before there was a thing called Israel. Before there was a man called Jacob, who would then be called Israel, and then be a people called Israelites. Or before Judah, and the people called Jews, a long time before that, before the foundation of the world, God chose His people. Now, this though, Israel, natural Israel, would represent and represents throughout the Bible this other group of people. God's eternal people are represented by the people naturally as they came through the Old Testament. They're a type and a shadow of God's eternal people. He chose them not because there was anything good about them that He chose them, but He chose them because of His sovereign will, because He said, "Those are mine." Not because they were worthy of it, not because they were some great nation, but because He set His mercy upon them. He gave them favor. He gave them blessing. He did not give the other nations of the earth. You see, it's a type and shadow of God's eternal people. He made choice of them. They didn't make choice of Him, but He made choice of them and made them His people. But He says, He commands His disciples to go. He says, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Don't go to them. He's restricting them to go to Gentiles. That second commandment, He's going to say, go into all the world. Go into all the creatures. He's releasing that to then go to the Gentiles. But here, at first, they are restricted. They cannot go to the Gentiles. He says, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not. He says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My people and the sheep among them that are lost. Now, what does He mean there about those people being lost? Being lost kind of can conjure different ideas in our minds. Smallest child here understands what it means to lose something. And one of the important points I want you to understand about losing something, though, is that you had to have possession of it. It had to be yours to begin with before you could lose it. Now, that seems just real common sense kind of thing, but a lot of times, you know, the basic doctrines of God's Bible. Now, without the Spirit, though, you see, we don't have that common sense, in a sense, to understand those things. So I don't want to dismiss the truth of the gospel as just, you know, if you can't get this, you know, something wrong with you. If you can't get this, it might be because God's Spirit is not shown you that. It hasn't given you the light to see that thing. But, you know, isn't it interesting, once you see some of these things in God's Word, it just seems so plain, doesn't it? Oftentimes we have that reaction and we want to show it to somebody else because now it just seems so plain. But wasn't there a time in your life maybe that it wasn't so plain? That it wasn't so easy to see? Wonder what made the difference? Well, we know God is what makes the difference. It's God's Spirit that makes it so plain and so easy to see. All right? But He says, go to the lost sheep, the house of Israel. At this time, the house of Israel is in real bad shape. They have gone astray, as they had so many times throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. Gone astray, the house of the Lord is in disarray. They've corrupted what's the true worship of God. They've commercialized it. It has a lot to do about money. It has a lot to do about power. And it has a lot to do about telling people that they need to get things right and cleaned up. And it has a lot to do about legal things and the law and throwing those things on God's people. Now, it sounds kind of familiar. It sounds like a lot of things that go on in this world. That they've turned the worship service into about money, about commerce. You remember when Christ came up there to the temple, He had to throw over all those tables where men were up there making money. You know, it was like a flea market right outside the place where they go into worship. You know, because when they went up to worship, they had to go up there and they had to take animals for sacrifice. And somebody gets in Jerusalem, they're running late. You know, it took a while to get the kids going in the morning, you know, and get make things happen. And oh, honey, we're going to miss the service. We don't hurry up and get up there. We got to hurry up and get there. And they're running late. They didn't make preparation to get the turtle doves, you know, to get the sacrifice. And so they get there late, and you know, people say, we're going to take advantage of this. People got to come in here, and they got to have their animal sacrifices. So they set up shop right outside. It's convenience right here. Come up here. And of course, I bet they were overpriced. They were taking advantage of God's people, overcharging for those animal sacrifices they needed. And Christ comes up, and he's very upset. One of the few times we see the Lord as he came in this way, and he was very upset. And he turned over all these tables and said, you've turned my house into the house of this corruption. He says, but it's to be a house of prayer. You're missing the whole concept of what God's worship service is about. There was a lot of children in Israel that were lost. Didn't mean they didn't know where they were at, but it means they were separated from God. They were separated from His understanding. They were separated from the knowledge of His Word. They were separated from His truth. Truth is one of the things that they were separated from. They were lost to some truth and understanding through the corruption. And that's why He would send His disciples to them. They weren't going out to the lost and found and trying to find people who didn't know where they were and that they needed help getting back home. They went out with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They came out with light, shining light and understanding to help those who were in darkness to see. You see, that's what they were lost about. Nothing implied here about them going to hell. Nothing implied here about the sin debt or paying for their sins. Nothing's implied here. He says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. When he said for them to heal and do these things, these were to give evidence, you know, because the Jews seek after a sign. Remember him saying that several ways? He said, the Greeks seek after wisdom, the Jews seek after a sign. They want to see a sign. They were given a sign in the disciples because they were able to do things like heal people from these afflictions that nobody could heal them from. They were given a sign that these are not just men, these are my disciples. He says, freely have you received, freely give. Boy, that one's a good one just by itself. We could spend the whole time talking about that right there. Brother was here last Sunday and came out in the parking lot and said, I need to call you sometime because I'm confused about some things. I'd like for you to sit down and talk to me about those things. I said, you call me anytime. I said, I got it for free and I'll give it to you for free. You know, the truth that you have, the understanding you have, whatever it is, whatever you know about God's Word that is true and right, God freely has given it unto you. Are we ready to freely give it to others that they might benefit the same that you've benefited? Share what you have. God gave it to you for free. All right, but we have the lost sheep. Now, I'd like to, this same reference here, I'd like to turn to the 15th chapter of Matthew. Let's stay in Matthew for a second. Turn with us over to the 15th chapter. You have your Bibles. You'd like to go with us. It says, then Jesus, in the 21st verse, 15:21 Matthew, then Jesus went thence, departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out to the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Woman comes, she is from Canaan. Why we need to know that? Well, she's not of the house of Israel. That's the main point there. And she's come out. Now, she's heard. And word has gotten out that this man by the name of Jesus, no matter what your illness is, no matter what affliction you have, no matter how bad it is, no matter if you've had it from birth, he can heal you.